Last year's highly anticipated UN climate summit in Copenhagen resulted in the Copenhagen Accord, an agreement that began a process of creating climate change adaptation financial aid to impoverished nations, many of whom are already feeling the effects of global climate change. The agreement was widely criticized for being weak, non-binding, and not setting concrete targets for long-term emission reductions or greater protections for the world's tropical rainforest. One such critic was musician and political activist David Rovics.
I mean, in terms of what happened inside the conference, of course, it was all completely worthless because of U.S. obstructionism and other, you know, other things. But I'd say that was the main reason for the collapse of the thing. I mean, the world's biggest polluter has no interest in the thing, you know, in the, so what are you supposed to do with that?
At this year's UN Climate Change Conference in Cancun, much of the hope of reaching an agreement to slow global warming rests with something called RED. That's R-E-double-D, or Reducing Emissions from Deforestation and Forest Degradation. Don Lair is a spokesperson for the Ecosystems Climate Alliance.
RED is a mechanism that was created at the conference in Bali in 2007 that will hopefully provide funds to developing countries to not cut down their forests and thereby prevent the carbon emissions from cutting down forests, and also enhance the sequestration that forests provide for carbon. In other words, forests suck up carbon from the atmosphere, but when you burn them down or destroy them, they release carbon into the atmosphere.
So the UN is establishing a fund to pay developing nations not to chop down or burn down their forests. But how is this significant to battling climate change? Again, Don Lair.
Well, approximately 15 to 20% of total global carbon emissions come from deforestation and forest degradation. So that's a huge chunk of the total carbon emissions globally. And the idea was that if we could find a way to curtail and eventually even stop this kind of deforestation, it would be a relatively quick and easy way to decrease some carbon emissions. It has turned out not to be so quick or so easy. It's a very complicated issue. You know, it seems so simple. You know, give them money and they won't cut down their trees.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, where does the money go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does it get down to the local communities that live in these forests? You know, how do you prevent it from getting snatched up?
Outside of hopes for passing a RED agreement, others involved in the UN negotiating process, such as Thomas Hamlin, the UN's technical advisor on energy and transport, see low-carbon transportation initiatives as a fundamental way for cities around the world to reduce greenhouse gases.
Well, we've seen some very interesting work done in Mexico City, and they're using something called bus rapid transit. They have special lanes for the buses. The reason I mention Mexico is they did quite a good study on the benefits from that system. And it's able to move on the order of 1 million people around each day. And the studies were able to show that the health benefits and the local benefits in terms of savings of time, even if you take their time at $1 an hour, and the savings in gasoline were the largest benefits to the system. So Mexico City is able to move people around efficiently and in a more healthy environment. And it's also saving greenhouse gas emissions.
Here in the Tampa Bay area, Hillsborough voters rejected a transportation referendum that would have included bus rapid transit. But some locals, like Eric Stewart, are still doing their part to fight climate change on a grassroots basis.
Community gardening and climate change, I think the most connection that there is you're reducing the demand of habitat destruction. When you buy food in the local markets, they're getting it from the global farms. if you can reduce your food miles to local farms or from community gardens, you're reducing how far that food has to travel. Most of these community gardens aren't using fertilizers or pesticides, so they're reducing the amount of oil that has to go onto the soil. Permaculture is about thinking holistically and thinking about all aspects of just being alive. So thinking about the building that you're living in, the land that's around your house, thinking about where you get your water, and thinking about your health.
For more information about transition initiatives in the Tampa Bay area, check out codegreencommunity.org. For WMNF News, this is Kelly Benjamin.